International radio broadcast that you're tuned into, And I'm Evangelist Linda Kasris, and welcome. No matter what time zone you're in, you're always welcome to tune in to Gatekeepers Ministry International. We thank you for calling in, streaming in, and we bless God for you. Tonight I have a special guest from the UK in London, deaconess, author, leader, trainer, Madge Obaseki. I hope I said that right. I know my last name is very hard to pronounce, so I try to work at other last names that are hard to pronounce. But anyway, we are going to have a treat for the next 5 weeks. This is her first evening. She's no stranger to the broadcast. She has been on the broadcast for the last year and a half, 2 years, ministering on specific topics, allowing the Lord to use her. Very anointed vessel of God, great woman of God, hallelujah. So we praise God tonight for her. She is the visionary and co-director with her husband, Apostle C. Obaseki, of GrowTheChurchNow.com, which is part of Future Hope Legacy, LTD. The organization provides strategic advice and guidance for church ministry and business leaders and their workers. This is covered through online face-to-face training seminars and aspects of growth and efficiency. She works with clients in the UK and the United States of America. Her experience was gained after a long corporate career in training and organizational development and recruitment project management. She has enjoyed tenures as head of training, which is her specialism, as well as course and workshop facilitator. Madge is frequently asked to speak and facilitate at workshops and conferences, staff away days, and team building on all aspects of organizational growth. She holds a postgraduate in management from Middlesex University and is CIPD qualified and also an ILM accredited trainer. She is also studying for a bachelor's in theology. So when she comes on to minister, she will be able to share with you how to get in touch with her. So I'm going to leave that part up to her. I just wanted to tell you a little bit up front about her. And before we go into that, I just praise God for all the global listeners. About 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord said to me, it was right after he gave me the name Gatekeepers Ministry, that I had no idea what I was going to attach that to. And so when I started doing a radio broadcast on someone else's radio station, and the Lord gave me the name Gatekeepers, he told me that he was going to take this ministry of Gatekeepers internationally. Globally was the word he said to me. And I didn't know how he was going to do it. I certainly haven't tried to do it. But that's what he said. I never thought about it until it started happening. It's something how God can say something and you don't have to try to do it. And he just brings it to pass. And it's that amazes me, especially when it comes to ministry, because your ministry may involve other people, but it's the ministry that God has given you. And he's going to develop it, circulate it. I don't market my ministry. I do advertise the broadcasts. But how all these nations have come to tune in, listen in on demand mostly, Gatekeepers Ministry International radio broadcast, I don't take any credit for. God has done this, and I give him all the glory. So I just want to give a shout out to Slovakia, Barbados, Croatia, Somalia, Russia, Argentina, Jamaica, and Venezuela. Thank you for tuning in to us. However you tune in, whether you call in or on demand, it's probably easier for you. And I want to say thank you and give a shout out to Thailand and Pakistan, Argentina, Malaysia, Dubai, Nigeria, New Zealand, India, Kenya, South Africa, Canada, the Philippines. We bless God for you. Trinidad, thank you for tuning in. Ghana, London, where our minister is going to minister to us tonight, give us a teaching tonight on church growth. South Korea, Tobago, Norway, the Netherlands, Togo, France, Germany, China, Australia, Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru, and the United States of America. We just know right now that this nation is a great nation because God's hand is on this nation, not because of a man, woman, or anybody else. This nation was founded on biblical principles. Now, I don't know the history of other nations, but we praise God for you, every nation. God would have his hand on those that are definitely calling this broadcast because this radio station was dedicated and consecrated to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahshua HaMashiach. So we give him all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. We don't take it lightly that we have this platform again one more time. So I thank God for the woman of God that's going to minister tonight. And she has her accent. She does excellent. She brings forth an anointed word, always has every time she's been on the broadcast. And you know we're in a totally different time zone, so it's nighttime where she is. I don't know. It might be 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm not sure. But it's 7:13 p.m. here in the United States where I am, Eastern time. So we bless God for you joining us. We thank the Lord. So let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. We thank you and praise you for who you are. You are the great and mighty God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're doing. We ask that you would bless us tonight, every listener, Lord God, and our speaker tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would move by your spirit, that the listener, Lord God, will be educated, that they would learn something that they don't know yet, that they would be encouraged, that maybe something she says they're already doing. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, for we are the church, Lord God. But the building of the church, the office or the business of the church needs to be managed and managed to glorify God. It's not just a business. It's God's business. It's not just man's business. It's God's business. And it needs to be to glorify God. It needs to be managed with character and integrity. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the woman of God that has this mission with her husband. And, Lord, we bless him tonight also. We ask that you will pour out your spirit upon our flesh tonight, Lord God, that everything that's said or done would be, that you would be glorified. Lord, we ask that you would beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. We ask that you would line the heavenlies, the first and second heaven, with your angels. We plead the blood of Jesus in the heavenlies over every frequency, every radio frequency, over our phones and the computers that are being used tonight. Father, we ask that you would cause this message, this teaching, to go forth with power. Lord, that's your power. It's not man's power. It's your power, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for order in the church. These 5 weeks will bring order to leadership, will bring order in church business, will bring order in God's business, because that's how he rolls. That's how he works. So, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I humble myself tonight, Lord God, and I ask, God, that you would rule and reign in this broadcast, that you would oversee it, that you would speak through my sister and use her for your honor and your glory. Lord, that not one word that she says would be in vain. Father, I thank you that you brought this station, this broadcast, this far, that every person that has ever spoken on this broadcast lives for you and glorifies you. So, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. We bless you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I wanted to say something about that song, Cast With. It's called Cover Me. And I don't know if my sister is going to touch on anything that comes close to covering. But I do know that in almost 39 years of being saved, that I have felt at times, for a duration, a long duration of time, that I was not covered properly. And I can go down a list of reasons why. So when my girlfriend and her brother made this album called It Shall Come to Pass, look it up on YouTube. Every song is right on. It's a worship song. It's a worship CD. But my girlfriend's brother, who is a missionary, and she's a missionary. I met her in China when I lived there for 6 months. She actually is singing in the background, but he wrote this song, Cover Me. And once I got it, just about 2 years ago, I don't know how long ago he wrote it, but I was in her house in the Bronx in New York staying with her for a couple days, and I saw this pile of CDs, and I had never knew they made a CD. So I started playing it. She gave me one, and I was so blessed. When I heard that song, it made me weep. I felt that that song was written just for me. So I started playing it on repeat in my prayer time every day, and I pray under my prayer shawl, and I was under my prayer shawl after about 3 months, you know, of this, just playing it on repeat. You know how you do, you pick your best worship song, and you just enter into the presence of the Lord, and you just stay there, and that's what I did, and my eyes were closed. I was under my prayer shawl, and the Lord just stepped into my room. Psalm 91 confirms what I'm about to tell you. He came behind me, and his wings were open, and I saw his wings cover me. I was folded up in those wings. I was still under my prayer shawl with my eyes closed, praying in the spirit, and I saw all of this. And I could see every panel on his wings was whiter than white. And I was so, I just even bent over more once I saw that. Because the Lord came in and confirmed to me, I have you covered. Under my wings you shall trust, Psalm 91. And that's one of the psalms that I know by heart. It just blessed me. It confirmed to me, I know when you weren't covered properly, but I always had you covered like this, and I'm going to show you that I do. And that's what he did for me. You know, and so that song means so much, and because we're talking about how to be the greatest Christian leader, the greatest Christian leader will cover you. And the greatest Christian leader is not perfect, but I believe we learn by our mistakes, and we can go to other levels, and God, we can do better the next time. So I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory for this, and I bless God tonight. And right now, I'm going to just turn this broadcast over to my sister, and I just appreciate you, my sister. I just opened your mic. God bless you. It's all yours. Take your time, and I'm excited. I'm godly proud of you, and you just go for it, girl.
Now, can I say good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good night to anybody that's listening? And, you know, Evangelist Linda, I so appreciate you. It's always been a pleasure, as you said. It's been about 18 months since I've been coming on the broadcast every now and again. This tonight's going to be a bit different, but I have to say, this woman is such a kingdom woman. She opened her heart to me, I believe, through the Holy Spirit, as I said, about 18 months ago, and I've been momentarily doing the show, and I am so grateful to you. And I'm joining her by saying welcome to all of you on the line wherever you are. We're going to have a good time this evening because I'm going to be talking about leadership in a series that lasts for 5 weeks. So I am going to be speaking today about your leadership style and how it impacts your church, or if you've got a Christian business, or if you're a ministry. But next week I'll be talking about why your vision, mission, and objectives, some people call the objectives a strategy, are key to leadership and to growth. I'll then be talking about getting your team to work with you. That will be on the 21st of June. On the 28th, I'll be talking about Nehemiah, one of the great, great leaders in the Bible, and we're going to learn some key points for leadership. And on the 5th, what to do when you think things are not going right. That's a very important one for many leaders. I have been a leader for nearly 30 years now, and I can tell you not everything always goes right, but there are strategies, and what we're going to do is share with you some of the strategies we've learned over the years. Now, because there's so much rich information, and this is a lot more about teaching and sharing than it is about preaching, we are going to use biblical principles, but it'd be very practical as well. What we've decided to do is to offer you a free presentation of this particular broadcast and every other broadcast that's coming out in the next 5 weeks. And we can do that on a weekly basis, but you would need to email us, and I'll give you that through the broadcast, but the email would be admin@growthechurchnow.com. So that's admin, A-D-M-I-N, @growthechurchnow.com. If you want a copy of the presentation I'm about to share with you. So here goes. Why am I talking about leadership? Well, some of you might be familiar with John Maxwell. He's a world-famous leadership expert, and he has a very frequently quoted quote, and it's, "Things rise and fall on leadership." I think that is so accurate, because if we don't have good leadership in government, business, the church, the ministry, organizations, then it's very difficult for things to flourish. Now, if I put it as a biblical perspective, if you look at Matthew 9:1 and also the whole of Matthew 10 from 1 to almost the end, you'll discover that Jesus gave the disciples the power and the authority to his disciples to duplicate his examples. Now, he provided them with guidance, and he warned them about the pitfalls. If you remember, one of the verses actually says, sometimes you have to shake the dust off your feet. In other words, sometimes you have to move away from a situation. So So we're going to be talking quite a bit about that, but definitely about leadership style. Now, I heard Evangelist beautifully introduce me, and I want to say why I'm doing what I do. As you heard, I come from a fairly corporate background. HR and training was my specialism and still is. But when I got to the age of about 30 years old, I gave my life to Christ. It took a long time, and that's a story in itself, one for another day perhaps. But the first thing I learnt in the church I was in was, my gift will make a way for me. And they kept drumming it in, and they were very big on people serving. And so that's the first thing I learnt to do, was to serve in a church assembly. And as I served, they recognized that I could do a lot more. I remember the first job I ever had was in the sanctuary keepers department, which is, to some of you that don't know, it's basically the cleaning department. So, but I did that job diligently with all my heart. And, you know, the Bible tells us that, to do it with all our heart and our soul. So I did that really diligently. I was working for the Lord, really excited. It's, you know, almost like having your first love, isn't it, when you first give your life to Christ. However, they discovered that I could do more, and they gave me more to do. And over time, the responsibility of working and, you know, a domestic life and a corporate life, a professional life, and the life in the local assembly got too much. It took a few years, but it was difficult to keep it going, and most people would burn out, and I certainly did. It took me a couple of years before I walked into another assembly, and when I did, I was a bit more wary, and I sat and watched. But, you know, the bug to serve, that seed had been planted in me early on, and so I eventually, after months being there and watching, I decided to serve again. And the same cycle happened one more time. But this time, I had learnt a lesson and had also been given a prophetic word. And that prophetic word was repeated a couple of times from people I've never seen before and never seen since. And then I got my own revelation. And that's how my calling, my true purpose, has been born. And I remember being called to beautify the bride. And that was through the equipping of church workers, etc. In fact, Ephesians 4:12 tells us and admonishes us to do just that. So that's a little bit of my story, just to put everything in context. But why leadership? Well, the reason we're talking about leadership, you heard evangelists saying that we specialize in church growth through growthechurchnow.com. And one of the things that we've been working on over the last 18 months is looking at the various aspects of how an organization, and particularly a church, keeps healthy. I want to share with you what we have identified as the 12 keys for healthy church growth. And they are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, and preparing to change. Now, you heard for the third key was leadership, and that's what we're going to be focusing on in the next 5 weeks, and I have picked a theme for every week. Now, today I'm talking about how your leadership style affects your assembly, your church, your ministry, your organization, or your Christian business. As long as you're a leader, these things are relevant. So for me, a leader should inspire other people and motivate them and bring out the best in them. The sole definition of a leader, I believe, is, you know, that they are an influencer of people towards a collective goal. So the behavior of a leader and the style they choose to adopt can and do affect the outcomes and whether that mission for that particular organization, church, ministry, or business can be achieved. So we're talking about the impact your style makes. Now, I want to share with you some real case studies, no names mentioned, but it's happened so many times that it's a common thing that happens. But the first thing that I noticed is that having worked with a few leaders over the years, I've worked with a few that, you know, what we call laid back. We'll come back to in a minute, but they're also called laissez-faire, laid-back leaders. They rely on others to make decisions, which had, in this case, an effect on the people that were coming up or emerging as leaders. Because what they did was, it's not do as I do, it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. So basically, those emerging leaders, the people that were coming up behind this leader, were basically copying their behavior. And as a result, there was confusion, a lack of traction, and there was no progress in that particular assembly. And some became quite frustrated because nothing was happening, and they left. In another case, a leader was so autocratic. You know what I mean by that, the type that, you know, what I say goes, yeah? And every single decision had to be approved by them. Not only did they, that leader, become quite burnt out, but again, everybody had to receive approval, and again, frustration set in, and eventually, some of them left, and in one extreme case, formed their own assembly. So you can see why leadership is so, so important. Now, I want to talk about some of the aspects of the styles of leader. And hopefully, by now, you've got a pen and a piece of paper to take some notes. But as I said, if you want a copy of the notes that I'm sharing with you, then email admin@growthechurchnow.com. Now, the first leadership style is participative or democratic leadership. And I shared with you earlier Matthew 10:1, and it's a very good example of a democratic leader. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He gave them the power and the authority to do that. That's Matthew 10:1. So he gave them the power and the authority. He provided the guidance, but he warned them about the pitfalls. But nevertheless, he gave them the authority, and he delegated some of the work to them and just oversaw what they did. Now, it's usually, I believe, participative or a democratic leader is probably the best option for most organizations, including the church. The leadership offers its guidance and its teams and accepts ideas from their individual staff, members, and other leaders. However, this is not a rollover or play dead. So in other words, that leader doesn't not do anything. They are there controlling it, but in a way that empowers their staff, their leaders, their volunteers. They still reserve the right to make the final decisions. However, they encourage feedback, ideas, and suggestions from everyone. Now, there are positives and negatives with all these leadership styles. So I'm going to share that with you. Take note. And what I would say to you is, if any of these leadership styles resonate with you, perhaps you actually have one of these styles yourself or a combination of the two. Take note and take note of some of the options that you have to perhaps move things forward. So the positive with a democratic leader, well, they encourage participation, and therefore I have seen that workers have become contented and they are able to make input to decision making, so they feel included. However, there is a negative, and I have found this with some organizations that take it a little bit on too far. And since people are encouraged to participate in the process, decisions do tend to be slower as people offer their opinions and sometimes their objections. So what do you do if you're a participative or a democratic leader? Well, I think you should keep your style because, as I said at the beginning, I think it's one of the most ideal leadership traits to have. But you just need to make sure that there are systems in place, such as key leaders who can ensure that those decisions are facilitated. So in other words, if you get a group of workers together and ask their opinion, make sure there's somebody within that group that can go ahead and get that decision signed off quickly so that you don't it doesn't delay your decision making and that other people don't lose face. So hopefully that's clear to you. Now, I'm going to share the second, and then after I've shared the autocratic and authoritative style leader, which I'm going to talk about next, I am going to ask Evangelist to play a piece of music, and then we'll come back and share the other two. So the next one is the autocratic or authoritarian style leader. Now, what's great about the autocrat is that they make clear division between the leaders and the workers, but it's also a bad thing as well, which I'll explain. Now, autocratic leaders tend to make decisions on their own. There's little or no involvement from the workers, the volunteers. Autocrats are usually very, very confident and comfortable with their decision-making for an organization and for the strategic plans of that organization. But here's the thing. According to 2 Timothy 2:2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust it to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We call it succession planning. Now, it's quite difficult for an autocratic or authoritarian to have that style of leadership that leads to succession. And if we look at some of the modern day examples of leadership, we can see where they have fallen flat because people have become disenfranchised, they've become disillusioned and disengaged. The positive things about an autocratic leader, if you're one of them, is that the ability to make very fast decisions without the need for any consultation. So that's great if you've got a challenge, a problem, an emergency comes up, and you need somebody to pass the buck to. The autocrat will get in there and make that decision immediately. And that's a good thing, and I think all leaders need that, actually. However, as I said before, the negative effect is that the workers, the volunteers, and other leaders could or will feel disengaged and possibly become negative. And as we've seen in the past, the late Margaret Thatcher, for instance, if any of you remember her, she was the first British Prime Minister, very strong and a real autocrat in many ways. And eventually, you know, there was a gang up against her and, you know, she lost her place. And that's what happens because people become negative. Now, if you are an autocratic leader, if you're real about it and you want to admit it to yourself, what you probably need to do is to make sure you balance your need for authority with some of the consultation of others, so that they feel part of it and you get better productivity. but still embracing the fact that you are able to make strong decisions when they're needed. So I believe that autocratic leaders may fall into the path of perhaps somebody who is a solopreneur and they're doing it all themselves. And then all of a sudden, they've got their first staff member and they have to learn how to involve those people. It can be a very tricky and difficult process to follow. So that's the first two leadership styles that I want to share with you. But we are going to a break now, listen to a piece of music, and when I come back, I'll share the other two leadership styles. Thank you for listening for now.
Do you have a music preference? You want me to play something you gave me?
Yes. That'd be great.
Okay, cool. All right, here it is.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
Might as well put your hands together.
This means war.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
Hello and welcome back. This is our second half of How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader, and we are talking about how your leadership style influences your organization, your church, your ministry, or your business. Now, we talked about two leadership styles before the break. We talked about the Democrat and we talked about the Autocrat, and now we're talking about the leadership style called laissez-faire, or I don't know if that's pronounced properly because my French is not fantastic, but it's also laid-back leadership. I've worked with leaders over the years that are so laid-back they could be horizontal. And the effect of the people that work with them is that they get confused. They don't know what they're doing, and so they make up their own rules. Confusion ensues, and there's a lack of traction or progress in the assembly, and eventually people either give up, walk out, or take over, and not in a positive way either. In my view, it's the least effective form of leadership. In stark contrast to the other styles, i.e. the delegate, and the authoritarian, this leader makes no decisions at all. They sit on a fence, and it's not good for anybody. It can stress people out who are working with them but want to see the organization flourish. For me, if you are in that category and you know that you don't like making decisions, it's possible that you don't really want to be a leader, that you've been forced into leadership because perhaps somebody suggested that you should be a leader, or you've taken over an organization from perhaps a parent or a relative, but it's not your natural style to be a leader, to lead people. I mean, the positive thing, and there are positives in a way, that they have the freedom to be as creative as possible, and they want to be strategic. They can be, because nobody else is. However, the negatives are that people have too much freedom and too much creativity. It is to the detriment of either a church, a ministry, or a business, because they're not following through on the vision of that organization or the mission. And in some cases, what I've seen is that the workers lose motivation. And as I said before, usually there are confusions. People are confused under this type of leadership as other people who perhaps have a different style of leadership try to take over. And so people don't know which leader to follow. Now, as I said, if you are a laissez-faire or a laid-back leader, you need to just start making decisions because that's what leaders do. Or you might want to reconsider whether you really want to be a leader. One of the easiest decisions you can make, though, if you're in this category, is to get people around you who can help you to come to some conclusion. So that's the laid-back or the laissez-faire leader. Now, the fourth leadership style is corporate or organizational culture style leadership. Now, I draw my references from Mark 7:7-8. the Sadducees, they are the opposite number. In a Jewish history, the Sadducees were some of the rulers, the people that made laws. They were pretty wealthy people, and they had a run of their culture was to do with the fact that they believed certain things, and if anybody else believed differently to them, they were not very happy about that. So the Sadducees were people who had specific ideas about the resurrection, for instance. They had specific ideas about resurrection and afterlife. And because of that, they were in conflict with a number of the apostles at the time. And in fact, Jesus mentions to the Sadducees in Mark 7:7-8, that they put culture over God's commandment, because, and it really goes with the corporate or organizational culture leadership style, because this leader feels that their way is the right way to go. They have a strong effect on the culture of an organization, because they believe that if people walk outside those rules and those regulations, that they can't be part of it. Now, although on the positive side, it's good because they know who they are. They know they have very clear rules and people know where they stand. The negative side of it is, and the problem arises, because the friction means that nobody else can duplicate what that leader does, because they want it prescriptive and they want it their way. And people maybe not be able to live up to those standards. Every business or organization, regardless of their size, has some sort of culture. And it can hurt the operations when people are having to follow a very strict set of rules and regulations, which can't really be sustained. And what happens is that organization tends to rule out any other thinking outside. So they're isolated in some ways. So you need to be aware that if you are a corporate style leader thinking in a very specific way, that my way is the right way and there aren't any other ways, you might need to think about how the doors closing behind you, because nobody else understands what you're about. And in fact, you might not understand what other people are about. So that's kind of the corporate leadership, and the reference is the Sadducees, really. Now, we've talked about four different leadership styles, and I just want to remind you of the key points that we've talked about. So whether you're in a church, a business, a ministry, or you have staff and volunteers, these are the points that we talked about today. So if you're a participative or a democratic leader, you really need to make sure that you have systems in place to ensure there is order, because you are so free with your staff or your volunteers in them being participative that you could lose control if you don't have the systems in place to make sure that things go as planned according to your mission and your objectives. Then the delegative or the laissez-faire leader, the person that seems it hard to make decisions. As I said, I would suggest you just start making decisions, or consider if you want to lead, or select people who can help you to come to conclusions. And then you've got the corporate leader. Be aware that your organization, Your church culture could close the door to ideas for your church, for your ministry, your organization, or your business. And last, the autocratic leader. Make sure you balance your need for authority with some sort of consultation so people feel that they are a part of something, and you'll get better productivity as a result of that. Now, we're nearly at the end of this particular broadcast, but if you want a copy of the presentation today in the form of PowerPoint, it won't be come out as an MP3, it'll come out as PowerPoint, then you can email us at admin@growthechurchnow.com. That's admin, A-D-M-I-N, at growthechurchnow.com, and name the subject session one, and that will be sent to you almost immediately. Now, before I go, next week I'll be sharing information and tips and biblical perspectives on why vision, mission, and objectives, sometimes called strategy, are key to leaders. So join me on Thursday, the 14th of June, 7 p.m. Eastern, or 6 p.m. Central, for the series on how to be the greatest Christian leader. I'm Madge Abasaki from growthechurchnow.com, and it was my pleasure to speak to you here on Gatekeepers Ministry Radio with Evangelist Linda. God bless you and keep you all. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. I don't have Hallelujah. Any more to say. I think that was a blessed presentation, and it was a super blessed closing. So the only thing I have to say is to all the listeners, whether you've listening in tonight, called in, streamed in, or you will listen on demand, just remember this: only what you do for Christ will last. What you do for Christ will glorify Him. So before you entertain that thought and do what you're thinking, if it doesn't glorify God, think about it and don't do it. Be raptured. So when you do what you say, when you do what you do, and when you say things that glorify God, you can be sure that He's going to open that door for you and say, enter in, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm missionary evangelist Linda Casares, thanking you for tuning in tonight. Join us next Thursday night for a powerful presentation as well. God bless you. Good night, and have God dreams.